Let's read in Acts chapter number 26 this morning. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Appreciate every one of you being here today. Let's stand if you're able to. If you're not, that's fine. But if you're able, stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. The Word of God said in verse number 1, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." And I want to drop down now in verse number 6. He said, "I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Drop down to verse 13 with me. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now, wait just a minute. Let's think about that for just a minute. I want you to understand something that the Bible teaches not only here, but it teaches all through the Word of God. When Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, you will say, "Preacher, well, it wasn't Paul. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the Christians." You remember when he was taking them and locking them up, and he was persecuting them, and he thought he was doing God a service when he was doing it. But it paints the picture of what Jesus said in another text, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto these, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Brother Rick, it was serious business when Jesus looked down from heaven and this man was taking his children and abusing them and persecuting them and locking them up and marching them into jail cells. And I want you to know today that that same Jesus is still sitting in that same heaven and still knows what every one of his children are going through. And he's got his eye on the sparrow. But you better know he's watching you and I. And he knows what we need this morning. Amen. Now watch this. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and Jerusalem, throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, here's the attitude, beloved, of the world towards the child of God, even today. Watch what Festus said. He said, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Now, in East Tennessee vernacular, you're crazy, man. You have lost your mind. That's what Festus is saying to the Apostle Paul. Can I say this to you? I want to encourage you this morning. That's what a lot of people think of a church like this, where we get together and we sing. We get together and raise our voices and raise our hands and raise our hearts and worship the Holy God of heaven. Amen. Where we get together and preach the Word of God. Where we get together and love one another. A lot of people think we've just lost our mind. But I got news for you this morning. I'm not mad. Amen. I'm a sober man this morning. And I love Him this morning, the Lord Jesus. The Word of God said here, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Watch Agrippa now. Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with me in reverence to God's word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the precious word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Lord, as we go through the lesson today and the Word of God, God, that you'll speak to our hearts. You'll encourage our hearts. May we leave here, our Father, just determined in our hearts to lift high that blood-stained banner and proclaim to a lost and a dying world that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Help us, we pray, in thy name. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question today. How many of you are aware that in the world that we live in, whether you're talking about the United States of anywhere or anywhere else in the world, that there are a lot of unhappy people? How many of you are aware of that? I believe the reason that's what's going on in some of our big cities, especially Oregon, it's been going on for years in Chicago. They kill one another every weekend. Is there are a lot of unhappy people in the world. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. That's something that God's people need to guard against. Because if we're not careful, it will get sucked in to that same mindset, amen, that there's darkness in the world. There always has been. At times it seems to be magnified more than at other times. But there's some things here I think that we could call a prescription for true happiness, a prescription for true happiness. How many's been around long enough to understand that money doesn't make people happy? Right? There are people that have lots of money and yet they're miserable. Marriage doesn't make everybody happy. They think that I'll marry this woman and I'll be happy. And they marry another woman, I'll be happy. Marry another woman, I'll be happy. But it's not just marriage. It takes, listen, we've all been guilty of this. We'll be driving down the road and we'll look up on the hill and there'll be a nice house. My wife has said many times, honey, isn't that a beautiful home? And I've said the same thing. You've said the same thing. Well, you know, it might be a beautiful house, but it doesn't mean it's a beautiful home. If it's a beautiful home, there's somebody in the center of that house that everybody revolves around, and that somebody is Jesus. Amen. It takes Jesus to make a beautiful home. And by the same token, I think of Sister Lissy Malk that Brother Mike had the joy to pastor years ago. A little shack. I'm telling it right, ain't it, Brother Mike? I'm talking a little shack by the road. And not many people would have went by there and said, boy, isn't that a beautiful home. They wouldn't have said it's a beautiful house. But all you had to do is spend 5 minutes with that little lady rocking in the rocker with that Bible in her lap. It didn't matter if it's 95 degrees, a bonnet on her head, and a sweater on, amen, reading the Word of God and enjoying the things of God. It was a beautiful home because Jesus was right in the middle of it. Amen. I believe with all of my heart there's a prescription for happiness here in the Word of God. I got to talking to the lady that took my blood the other day. Well, I asked her where she went to church, and she told me real quick, and I asked her what the name of it was. She told me the place where it was located. She was having a hard time thinking of the name of it. And then I kind of just went along. She did remember the pastor's name. And I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, can you quote John 3:16 for me? And she just had to have a little bit of help, Brother Steve. But I believe that God, listen, that God's people ought to have joy. Amen. And it come time for a snack. And she went up there and got me some peanut butter cookies. And that wasn't good enough. In just a minute, she throwed a baggie full of them peanut butter turtles up on my chest. The homemade that she had brought. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God's people ought to be a happy people. And God's people ought to be holding the line up somewhere. Talking about Jesus. Say amen. I believe that, don't you? And Paul was right here. The Word of God told him he was going to go before kings. The Word of God told him he was going to be before princes, and he was going to be before the Gentiles. And I'm reminded of Brother Mitchell. He said whenever the line got backed up at the doctor's office, he said, just start talking about Jesus and they'll holler your name right quick. Amen. You'll be invited back in a hurry. And so Paul had that glow about him, and he had the joy of the Lord on him, and he's here being accused of the Jews. Look at the prescription for happiness. Just give you a few things quickly. Number one, and every one of God's children that's in this building, you have access to this prescription. You say, preacher, what does this prescription cost? It's already been paid in full at Calvary. Amen. God has already, beloved, listen, paid the price that you and I can be happy in Jesus. Notice the prescription. Number one, I want to look at the word promise. The word promise. You see, the Word of God said here, and I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Paul was talking about a promise that the Jews had not yet before Christ seen fulfilled. They were looking forward to that promise. You and I are looking back at that promise that was fulfilled at Calvary. And beloved, listen, not only the promise of His coming, the promise, Isaiah, thank you, Mr. Isaiah, for the promise of His birth, but the promise of a holy life, but the promise of a death, a burial, and a resurrection, amen, is found right there in that the prophets of Moses and the prophets. And Paul was happy because God had given him a promise. How much more so, beloved? Listen, Paul didn't even have the whole Bible like you and I have it. Now we have it complete, all the way to the book of the Revelation. Amen. And God has given us promise after promise after promise. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to, beloved, listen, provide for you. I once was young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if we're not careful, we'll get sucked right in to that darkness, amen, that's in this world today. Don't have my head in the sand. I know there's some things going on that's not right. But hallelujah, I thank God, beloved, He's made us a promise. He's going with us. He's going to take care of us. He'll never leave us. He gave us a book to live by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible said under the promise, our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Beloved, it was blasphemy among the Jews to talk about the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them, the Sadducees, didn't even believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. But beloved, listen, it was a gospel of works. It was a gospel of law. It was not a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And His death, burial, and resurrection. The first thing I see in a prescription for happiness is a promise. Standing on the promise. Listen to me. In any church, you've got happy people and unhappy people. Y'all realize that? You want to know why? I'll tell you the difference. The happy people are standing on the promises. The unhappy people are just sitting on the premises. Did you hear what I said? I said, listen, somebody sent me a text last week. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Bob. It said that a church member complained to the pastor, and the pastor said, well, what can you do to help us with this problem? And it shows a few frames, brother, and that member disappeared. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's no church without problems. There's no family without problems. There's no life without problems. But thank God Almighty, we have a promise and a God that's bigger than any problem that we have today. Amen. Paul was concentrating on the promise. No wonder he could say, I think myself happy. The second thing I want you to see in the text today, not only a promise, the Word of God went down here, and you know, these promises apply to people that have been born again. Listen, Paul went back and Brother Preston, he talked about his conversion. He talked about the Damascus Road. And I got to studying about this where Jesus said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What this was talking about in the days of the of Israel, the biblical days of the Jew here, you would take the ox goad. And that's what Jesus was talking about, kicking against the goad. Kick against the pricks. In other words, there was a piece of wood and it had something sharp on the end of it. And when you wanted the ox to do something, you'd gouge him with it. Amen. Oh, thank God we're sheep and not oxen, and we're being led and not driven. Say amen. But that's what the ox goad was. And the harder, Brother Steve, that the ox fought against it, the worse it hurt. The harder that he kicked against it, the worse it hurt. And Paul was there on the Damascus Road. And beloved, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul, you're fighting a losing battle, amen. You're kicking against the truth. You're kicking against the Savior. You're kicking against the Scripture. And it's hurting more all the time. And thank God Paul just gave in and was born again, amen. And the Lord saved him that day. What happened? He goes from a promise, a prescription for happiness, to a purpose. Look what the Word of God said in verse number 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I'm going to say something now. You don't have to agree with me. One preacher said, you have a right to be wrong. Every child of God has a purpose. God saved you on purpose, and God gave you a purpose when He saved you. Say amen. You say, preacher, why are there so many miserable people? Why so many drugs? Why so much alcohol? Why so much misery? Why so much unhappiness? I tell you why. People don't have a purpose in life. They don't have a reason to get up. They don't have a reason to get dressed. They don't have a reason to go to work. They don't have a reason to love their family. They don't have a reason to go to church. They don't have a reason to read the Bible. They have no purpose in life. But every child of God has a purpose in life. Beloved, listen, I've said this before. It's simple. But if God only saved me to take me to heaven, He could have knocked me in the head the day He saved me and took me on, and it would have been over. But He left me here. Why? Because He had a purpose for my life. He told Paul, listen, there's a people, a Gentile people, that need the gospel. There's somebody that'll listen, amen, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Everybody's not going to listen, but some will. Amen. I don't know, Sister Jennifer, if the people on the bus got the bag or not, but that lady got the card, and it wasn't an appointment card. Amen. It was the card to help her get ready for the appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that God has given you and I a purpose. The happy mothers are the ones that realize that God has given them a purpose. Let me say something to you. I don't know what it is to be a mother. That's pretty simple. I know what it is to be a dad. And I know in the home, the mother bears most of the load. Say amen. The man goes to work. He's the breadwinner, so to speak. Many times nowadays, the ladies are helping with that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But listen to me carefully. I want you to understand something. There are times I've watched my wife, and the children can become a burden. It can become overwhelming. It can become more than you think you can bear. Let me tell you something to do when you get in that position. Won't you look at that little baby? Won't you look at that two-year-old, three-year-old? Look at that sawyer that's knocking out a tooth a day till Jesus comes. Amen. Won't you look at that youngin' and realize how many there are in the world that would love to have a youngin' and can't have a youngin' and count your blessings. Amen. I believe God said, listen, Mom, you have a purpose. Dad, you have a purpose. Every child of God has a purpose in life. Many people got up this morning. They don't know what they're going to do with their day. They have no purpose. Amen. I didn't come to church by accident. I came with a purpose. Amen. I came to preach the Word of God. I came to enjoy the fellowship of God's people. I ain't going to tell you how I done it, but I even got me a hug on the parking lot. Amen. Hopefully nobody was looking, but I got me a hug on the parking lot. Amen. And I believe the way I done it, I didn't endanger anybody either. Amen. But anyway, God is good. He gives us a purpose in life. How many's glad you have a purpose? Amen. Listen, you ought to keep those cards in your pocket. You ought to keep those gospel tracts in your pocket. Amen. And you ought to keep the joy of the Lord in your heart. Because listen, if we're walking around, we look like a mule been eating sawbriers. Amen. Nobody wants what we have. But if we have a little joy about us, then, beloved, they would like to have that. I believe Paul, just this is my opinion, I believe he was lit up this day, brother. You know, I believe he would say, what? When Jesus said, you're going to stand before kings. What? You know what I mean? And now, not only is he going to stand before Agrippa, he's going on to stand before Caesar. You know that? Amen? Paul had a purpose in his life. And what a joy it is to have a purpose in our life. Something, listen to me carefully. There's a purpose that's temporal, and there's nothing wrong with that. All of us, I mean, making a living and trying to provide for our house, and there's a purpose that's temporal. But listen, it's time God's people got plugged into the purpose that's eternal, that we could make a difference in our family for time, but thank God, Brother Ike, we can make a difference in our family for eternity. Amen. There may be grandchildren that aren't even here yet that are being affected by what we do and how we live today. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate purpose in my life. Prescription for happiness. I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Number one, a promise. Number two, a purpose. Look at it, number three, with me. The Word of God said here, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I never thought about this much till this morning early when I was reading the text. Brother Steve, Paul was persecuting the Christians, but he wasn't the only one. He couldn't have been the only one, Brother Grizzle. There were many others still doing what he was doing when Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. Now he's on the other side of the fence. He's not the one doing the persecuting. He's the one being persecuted. You remember how they let him down over the wall in a basket? How he escaped, amen? How one time he was beaten? I believe that's when he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I was caught up into the third heaven. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this man knows both sides of the fence. He's been the persecutor. Now he's being the persecuted. But listen, not only did he have a promise, and not only did he have a purpose, but he had power in his life. Look what the Word of God said. First of all, in verse number 18, I'm sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I'm going to ask you a question right now. Everybody in this building, how many know someone that's living right now under the power of Satan? How many know somebody like that? You better believe it. You better believe it. I'm telling you right now, beloved, there's some politicians in America that are living under the power of Satan. You say, preacher, you ain't got no business saying that. I'm telling you, beloved, when you're preaching things and pushing things that's contrary to that book, you're not living in the power of God. You're living in the power of Satan. And all over this land, beloved, there are things being promoted that are contrary to the Word of God. Now watch this now. The power. Paul knew what it was to live under the power of Satan. But Paul also knew what it was to be delivered. Paul now had power. Watch this. To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. Now watch this now. Listen to me. A lot of hands went up a moment ago, Brother Logan, that you know somebody that's walking in the power of darkness. Watch this now. God wants to use you. It got quiet. I said, God wants to use you. The Apostle Paul said here to open their eyes. You say, preacher, I can't open nobody's eyes. There's a sense that that's exactly right. But I'm telling you what, beloved, the way you live, the way you speak, the things you do, the places you go, having the power of God on your life can make a difference in somebody else's life and cause them to want what you have. That's why Jesus said you're the salt of the earth. I've not got a lot of sense, but if you get just enough salt on your tongue, you're going to want some water to go behind it. You're going to want a drink. It's going to cause you to be thirsty. Beloved, I want to ask you this. Is your life causing others to be thirsty? Or is it turning them away from the cross of Calvary? According to the Word of God here, watch this now. Kind of goes with the last point in the message. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in His name. Paul was living his life in such a way under the power of God that he wanted others to join the family. He wanted others to be saved by the grace of God. He wanted others to be forgiven. He wanted others, Brother Steve, to have the same inheritance that he had waiting on him in glory. And I believe with all of my heart, if you and I are right with God, there's not one individual, I said not one, that we want to see burn in hell forever and ever. But we want to see them helped. We want to see them saved. We want to see them forgiven. We want to see them with a purpose in their life as well. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not a disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, Jerusalem, throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Beloved, listen to me. There's a lie being told today. Listen to me. Listen, I'm not being critical, but I'm telling you it's a lie. You can't just repeat a little prayer and go to heaven. You can't. It's not in the words, beloved. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. I believe that there's people that's repented that didn't say a word because their heart was broken. The Word of God said that God said He would draw nigh to them that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. Listen to me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Word of God teaches us plainly. There's times that we pray and words come out of our mouth. And there's times, beloved, that we pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. But God is looking at the heart. Now Paul is saved by the grace of God. He knows about the power of God. And he's telling them, repent. Turn to God. If that wall represents sin, and that wall represents the Savior, beloved, in order to turn from sin, you must turn to the Savior. In order to turn to the Savior, you must turn from sin. And yet, all throughout our land, there are people that are preaching that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Listen to me, if you're not sorry for your sin, sit still. If you don't want to turn from your sin, sit still. Amen. But I'll tell you, happy day, happy day, happy day when a man gets tired of the devil being his master, gets tired of the sin that's in his life, and gets tired, beloved, of laying down at night not knowing what's going to happen to him if he leaves this world. Happy day when he turns from his sin and says yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He repents. And then the Bible said he does works meet for repentance. You say, preacher, what's that mean? That means there will be some evidence in his life. That means there will be a change in his life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many remembers when God made you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah, the power. That's a prescription for happiness. There's a promise in this text. There's a purpose in this text. And there is the power of God being manifest in this text. Watch this now. Verse 21, let's read on and I'll close. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, having therefore obtained help of God. You say, preacher, how could Paul keep going on? Same way you and I can. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how bad it gets. Brother Wayne, we can go on. I don't care what kind of shape our health gets in. I don't care what kind of shape our wealth gets in. We can go on because we have something the world knows nothing about. We have the help of God. We have the help of God. Word of God said here, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing. I want you to get this now. God had told Paul that he would stand before kings, but also he said the Gentiles. And the Word of God said here, witnessing both to the small and the great. I believe it's a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake to be a respecter of persons when it comes to witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake if we don't care just as much about the little kids that come in on the van. Amen. Maybe don't smell good. Maybe ain't had a good breakfast in a long time. maybe don't have the nicest clothes, if we don't care just as much about them and want to tell them just as much, if we don't want to tell that little boy in Africa just as much as we want our own son, then we're witnessing with a respect of purpose, a respect of persons. Listen to me carefully. Paul said, I'm witnessing to the small and the great. I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm just going to tell everybody. You say, preacher, why would you tell everybody? Because everybody needs Jesus. Because there ain't but one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go on down here. Christ should suffer, in verse 23, and he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Let me give you a couple of things real quickly. Paul is standing before Agrippa. Agrippa's great-grandfather is the one that tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby. Agrippa's grandfather is the one that beheaded John the Baptist. He's not got a real good line of stock going for him as far as the things of God are concerned. Here's Festus. Festus, if you study it out, he's kind of a man's man. I'll never forget, as long as I live, my brother getting a hold of his son one time. And he told his son, dry it up, boy. He said, real men don't cry. I'll never forget that. But then one night the phone rung. And my brother had been born again. Brother Lowell, there was snot and tears going everywhere. Because a real man had met Jesus. God had broken him down like a shotgun. He's still serving God today. Festus is that real man, that tough guy. So here's Agrippa. He's got Festus on one side of him. He said, preacher, what's Agrippa fighting? He's got Festus on one side of him. He's got Bernice on the other side. An ungodly woman. Study it out. Ungodly. He said, preacher, why did you tell us all that? I want you to understand that there's more going on here than just Paul and the gospel and Agrippa. And there always is. The man of God stands and preaches the word of God. And he's preaching to people that are under pressure from here, there, or everywhere. They know that it's going to cost them something if they get born of God, born again. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care what it costs you in this world to be saved. It's worth it. Never in my life will I forget what my pastor said to me the night I was saved when he put his arm around me in the altar. Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, son, there's nothing worth dying and going to hell over. My pride, Brother Ralph, was not worth dying and going to hell over. My peers were not worth dying and going to hell over. Hallelujah. That night I said, Jesus, please forgive me. You know what he did? He forgave me. I went back to work the next day, Brother Ike. If you could picture this, having given them old boys, listen, they knew what they were. They were sinners. Having given them gospel tracts and all that, went back to work apologizing to men because I said I was something that I wasn't. I'm telling you, beloved, when God saves you, you want to get right with men. Some of them looked at me like I was crazy. I give a man a New Testament one time. I left the job to go pastor my first church. I was burdened for this man. He was rough. How many knows what I'm talking about? He was rough. His language was rough. His life was rough. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've never met nobody too rough for Jesus. Amen. I gave them my New Testament. It was my work New Testament. Brother Steve, it was a small one. And it wasn't real clean. Because many times I'd be working in the machine shop and in the fabrication. I'd want to read a verse of Scripture while the machine was operating or something. You can't go wash your hands every time. And so it was my work New Testament. It stayed in my toolbox. I gave it to him. The boss told me a few weeks later when I stopped by to see him that he got it out of the trash can that day. He said, Pastor, you wasted your time. I'm going to tell you something. If that man never gets saved, I believe God will march him right back to when he threw the truth in the garbage can. I'm preaching the truth this morning. You can throw it in a garbage can if you want to, or you can take it into your heart and be saved by the grace of God. So if you want to do, Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now listen, this is my last word, the word persuade. The word of God, listen to me. I think, Brother John, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. I think there's a danger. Brother John was telling me about he's praying, trying to win one of his friends. And he was telling me the other day that the time is just not right. And I think there's a danger in thinking that you can persuade somebody, like a vacuum cleaner salesman persuades you that you need a vacuum cleaner. That's not the way it is. You see, the persuasion that going on in this text has to be done by the Holy Ghost. But listen to me. God uses people to persuade others. How many of you have ever been going down the road and you were going through the channels maybe and all of a sudden there's something come on there, some preacher come on there preaching the truth? Now listen, I'm not talking about just before you got saved, but what about after you got saved and God persuaded you that there was something going on in your life that needed to change? I believe there's a danger of looking at it like a vacuum cleaner salesman. That reminded me of a story I heard years ago. This man come in, he's selling vacuum cleaners, and he got him a bucket of dirt out. And the woman said, don't do that. Don't do that. He said, oh, you don't have anything to worry about, honey. Nothing in the world to worry about. She said, I'm telling you, don't do that. He went ahead and dumped it out all over the carpet. He got his cord out. He started looking for a receptacle. She didn't have electricity. She said, I told you not to do that. Are you listening? I believe God's people shouldn't be vacuum cleaner salesmen. But I believe our life, our lips, and our literature ought to be pointing people to Jesus. Say amen. Now, I'm going to say this. If you have no interest in living right, don't worry about talking right. You're doing more damage than good if you're living the life of a hypocrite and trying to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. But if you're living for the Lord, you love the Lord, then surely, I told the lady on the blood bus the other day, I said, if you know somebody that's not saved, watch this. You can send it to them in a text. You can send it to them in an email. I said, here's just a thought. Just tell them I'm going to heaven when I die and I want you to go with me. This will tell you how you can go and be with me in the city of God. The word persuasion. I want to ask you a question. Are you trying to persuade anybody? Brother Samuel had a wife that was a persuader. She wasn't overbearing. But you could just watch her walk with God. And the kindness of God just rolled out of her. The joy of the Lord just rolled out of her. And she wanted to have an influence in people's lives. Not because she thought she was somebody, but because she knew he was everything. That people didn't need Teresa, they needed Jesus. She just wanted to be an ambassador. The Word of God said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'm telling you, the Baptist church has gotten away from that in these days, but it's still the truth. We still need to be trying our best to persuade people, not apart from the Holy Spirit, but in the Holy Spirit. Persuade people that they need the Lord. Persuade people that Christ is the answer. Agrippa said unto Paul, almost persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. There must have been an audience, Brother Steve. Not just Festus, not just Bernice, not just Agrippa, but there must have been others standing around, no doubt servants. And Paul said, I wish every one of them were such as I, except these bonds. Every one of them was a child of God. Every one of them. A prescription for happiness. We're living in an unhappy world. A world that doesn't know the Savior. But you know what God needs more than anything in this generation? God needs a happy church in an unhappy world. God needs a happy daddy in the family. God needs a happy mama. God needs some happy teenagers. Say amen. God needs us to be a happy people because we have a promise. We have the power to do what God wants us to do. I believe with all of my heart we have a purpose this world knows nothing about. And we can persuade others as we go through life. Amen. Let me ask you something. How many's got a certain make of vehicle that you just, if you're shopping for a vehicle, that's kind of the way you're leaning to start with because you have a good track record with that vehicle? Amen. Come on, raise your hand. That brand has been good to you, right? Okay. So if somebody just walked up to you and asked you, if you were going to buy a car, my son, he had an accident a little while back. A deer ran out in front of him. He hit the deer and hit the ditch and tore the front end out from under his truck, and they totaled it. And he's in the market for a pickup right now. Boy, I tell you, I feel sorry for him because he's just bouncing around like a ping pong ball right now. But along the way, you know what he's found out? That engine has some problems. I called a mechanic the other day. My son had a question about a particular engine. I won't tell you what engine it was unless you ask me. If you ask me, I'll tell you. I'm not bashing that company or not bashing that engine. But if you do a little bit of research, here's what this mechanic told me. Tell your boy to run from it. I want to ask you this. Is your life telling people to run from Jesus or to run to him? You say, now, preacher, my life's just kind of neutral. There's a problem with that. It can't be so according to the Scripture. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. He said, you're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. You said, now, Pastor, that's strong language. It sure is, but it's Bible. And God is calling our attention this morning to the fact that he needs a happy people in an unhappy world. Amen. I saw a video clip yesterday. I didn't see it all. Where an absolute brawl broke out in a hotel. I mean, pounding each other. You would ask yourself this question. How? What could be so bad that two women, I reckon they are, two females, I knew they were females, would be beating one another to a pulp What kind of disagreement could happen in a hotel lobby between strangers that could cause such a thing? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen to me carefully. This country is a powder keg. The fuse has already been lit. That means watch some M.O. Westerns. They light the fuse way back here. It's going out through there. And when it gets to the powder keg, Barney Fife says kaplooey. You watch the match. Amen. I'm telling you, the fuse has already been lit. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No. Listen to me carefully. I don't care which way the election goes. You mark my word. The fuse has already been lit. You say, Pastor, why would you talk about that? I'm telling you, that should not have any effect on our happiness. Jesus is coming. The Bible is being fulfilled. And you and I ought to be looking for Him, loving on Him, living for Him when He comes. How many's glad y'all come to Bible Way today? Amen. I know this today. We've got grace at Bible Way today. Amen. Amen. That's good. And I know this today. There are a lot of God's people at Bible Way today. I also know this today. No way you could look at a crowd this size and not know there's some unhappy people at Bible Way today. God's looking for a happy people in an unhappy world. Let's bow for prayer.